You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
How many of you are excited that it's Friday? Yeah. How many of y'all brushed your teeth this morning? If you didn't, that mask is revealing it right now. You can smell everything. I'm so appreciative of every opportunity I get to come to Bethel and just to share with you all. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. It's an honor. I appreciate Sean, the entire team. And so thank y'all. Let's get right into it, man. If you got a Bible, you probably can't see, but pull your phone out. And I want you to look at the scripture with me this morning. I'm going to read from the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. Verse number 6 in the Amplified Version of the Bible, Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6 in the Amplified Version. If you got an iPhone, say, yeah. It's a bunch of Android users in here? Yeah. The devil is a liar. No, I'm kidding. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 in the Amplified says, but without faith it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists, and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. Then I'm going to read real quick from the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 3 in the New Living Translation. And I'm going to say a word that many people hear and immediately become intimidated. They get scared. But don't be afraid. We're going to make sense of it today. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 3 says, but if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of, you ready for it? The Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. I want to share with you a word this morning entitled, My Faith Will Get Me Through This. My faith will get me through this. Now, when we discuss faith, immediately most of you assume that I'm just discussing our belief in Jesus Christ or our confession that we're a Christian. Because when people say share your faith, immediately we go right into I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian. But faith is much greater than that. And the way that we know that through scripture is it gives us our requirement as believers that they who consider themselves to be servants of God must obviously first believe that God exists. That's number one. But that's not enough. Just to believe in the existence of God does not necessarily state that a person's heart is turned toward God or that there is a relationship. Because there's a lot of people that would say, I believe something is up there, or I believe something is greater. They believe in a divine power, a higher source, some kind of spirituality. So believing in his existence to God is not enough for God. The Bible says, in order to please God, you have to have faith. They that come to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Now, this is very important for you to understand because diligence represents intentionality. When you are in relationship with a person, there's a great deal of intentional effort. So what he says is, it's cool that you believe I exist, but I want you to understand that I have demonstrative power, that I'm not just the God your mom and dad talk about, or I'm not just some mystical figure that you've heard others discuss. But when you believe I exist, now find out for yourself how real I am. When you come to me, be intentional in your pursuit. And I'm not telling you that you got to pray 15 hours a day, because I know there are those that believe works will manifest a more in-depth relationship with God, and that's not true. Because God's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people to perfect. And that means when I'm intentional in my pursuit of God, saying, Lord, I know I'm young. God, I've got problems. I've got issues. I'm not everything I need to be, but I want to know you for myself. He says, at that point, I become more than just the God that is. I become the God that demonstrates. So God is and God does. He's a rewarder to them that seek him. So there's a measure of reciprocity there where God says, I'm going to do things so that you will know I'm real. I'm going to manifest things so that you will know this is not just a hoax, or this isn't just something that many of you struggle with it, because without a true understanding and the actual intricate teaching of the Word of God, The Bible is a contradicting book to you. You read it and you're like, this doesn't make any sense. How come this and how come that? And Jesus said this, but then that doesn't make sense, because if you read it like a novel, you'll never understand it. But when you get in a relationship with God, he reveals himself. That's the reciprocity. God can't be figured out. He can only be revealed. He reveals himself to those who diligently seek him. So he says, if you're going to come to me, you got to have faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please me. And when you have faith, you believe I exist. But then you also learn through relationship that it's much more than existence, but it is indeed a relationship that thrives and grows. So now that we have established that, we must understand that the adversary, the spirit of this world, the enemy, he knows that anyone that intentionally pursues God gets a reward. Well, the reward that we're seeking is the Spirit of God, the indwelling of his love, the indwelling of his power, a supernatural divine assistance, an unmerited favor that goes beyond our qualification. It goes beyond the state that we're in, because most of us are not worthy. Matter of fact, all of us are not worthy of the grace that he gives. But he's a rewarder. God says, when I give you my Spirit, there's going to be byproduct. Now, this is where it gets interesting. So if I receive the reward and his Spirit is in me by believing Jesus Christ, I believe in his word, I believe God exists, I'm pursuing God intentionally, he's rewarding me, I have his Spirit on the inside, God starts to work on me. Now, this is how he works. God works from the inside out. His Spirit begins to produce a fruit in us. The Bible says it's the fruit of the Spirit. What is that? Love. What is that? Peace. What is that? Joy, long suffering, and listen to this, self-control. Now, this is interesting, because you hear people say, man, have self-control. Well, the Bible says absent of the Holy Spirit, you cannot produce the fruit of self-control. So it appears externally that you have self-control, but the truth is this control of self is being fueled by the Spirit of God. So when you see a person whose behavior is reckless and it feels like they can't get over this and they can't move beyond that, oftentimes it's because they don't have deep roots in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God produces self-control, where you find yourself able to walk away from things that you would not have been able to walk away from on your own. There are times when people will say things to you and you immediately want to respond with something very negative, because if a person comes at me crazy, it's natural for me want to reciprocate crazy. But if I have the fruit of the Spirit, it gives me the control to say, you know what? It's not worth this moment of emotional gratification. I'm going to walk away, because there's something bigger for me. These are the rewards. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And the Lord wants to work from the inside of you out. And it's important for you to get this, because if I'm producing fruit, that means whatever environment I'm in, whatever atmosphere I step in, if God's working from the inside out, then what's on the inside of me affects what's happening on the outside of me. So when I come into a room, if I've got the right spirit, I can bring joy. I like the one young man that came up and he gave the announcement all this week, and he was like, what up, boys? And everybody got excited, because he brought a spirit of joy to the stage that became contagious to all of us. This is the reason why it's so important for you to understand how when you walk in the room, God has designed you through the development of the reward of the Holy Spirit to change atmospheres. Your responsibility is to know that if everybody else in this room is sad, because of what God has placed on the inside of me and he wants to work on the outside of me, I can change everything through my faith in what Jesus Christ has done for me. Now, the world is different than the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's transformations take place from the inside out. You can preach this with me. But the secular society or the carnal-minded people, everything works from the outside in. And this is dangerous, because most of us don't even realize it's happening to us. This is the reason why the passage of scripture that we've read discusses that greater is he that is in me than he that is on the outside, the world. The world does not mean creation. The world means the system of the world. So if I am a person who's not afraid, watch this, because the Spirit of God does not give me fear. Spirit of fear is not of God. And I'm feeling great. If I'm suddenly overtaken by fear, it did not come from within me. That spirit of fear came from something on the outside. I was watching too much news and too much media, and every time I looked on the news, they said the COVID cases are rising and people are dying and nothing's going to work out and society will never get back to the way it was. And if you keep listening to this, it gets on the inside of you, and now you're afraid to touch anything. You're afraid to move. You're afraid to eat because you're like, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Where did that thought come from? Because it didn't come from inside of you. It came from something on the outside that made you believe that life was not your right. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18, that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if I speak death, then I manifest the very thing I'm speaking. And I'm not just talking about mortal death. I'm talking about the death of your dreams, the death of opportunity, the death of going forward and progressing and doing great things. And oftentimes, those words are the result of what we consider and think on all the time. So if I'm watching negativity all the time from the outside, it's going to get in me. If I'm talking to negative people all the time from the outside, it's going to get in me. If I'm surrounded by pessimistic attitudes all the time from the outside, it'll get in me. And now that which was on the outside is affecting how I feel on the inside, ultimately deterring me from the purpose God has for me. But the kingdom of God works on the inside and is powerful, because as God begins to work on you, he pushes insecurity out of you. As God begins to work on you, he pushes fear out of you. As God begins to work on you, he pushes all the issues that have come to plague you out of you. Listen to me. When you begin to grow with this reward on the inside and walking by a true faith in God, these thoughts that come to young people, evil thoughts of suicide, you're not worth anything, your life doesn't mean anything, take your life, that didn't come from in you, that's a voice from on the outside of you. But the Holy Spirit will push that thing out and say, no, you have great purpose. You never let a day define your destiny. You never let the moment define your momentum. You never allow something that's happening in this instance to say, you know what, everything is over. No, because even though I had a bad day, the future or the next day is always full of purpose, promise, and potential. I just got to make it to the next day. And the way that I make it to the next day is by realizing God is working something out on the inside of me. Heartbreak, all of these things come from outside sources. Why are you saying all this? Because the enemy knows that you have greatness on the inside of you. God is so intentional about you. There is nothing random about God and what he feels about you. He has something for each and every one of you that is so outstanding and so amazing and can absolutely change your environment and your world if you submit yourself and you seek him intentionally. Listen to this. A lot of you are saying right now, you know what, man, I don't know what it is I'm supposed to do. And even some of y'all are trying your hardest not to listen to me right now. Here's the funny part for me. I've been preaching for 20-something plus years. I've taught everywhere. All of y'all favorite churches that you watch on TV, I've been to all of them. I know Joel Osteen. I know everybody. God has graced me to see some of everything. I've been doing this my whole life, and I've watched youth groups where there's that one person that's like, man, this is stupid. I'm not listening. Your flesh isn't listening, but your spirit is. And one day, when you try to ignore what you hear, this is going to rise up in you, because you're going to sense and you're going to feel something very negative on the outside of you. And you may not even remember my name, but you'll remember the word of God, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't have to kill myself just because I'm having a bad day. I don't have to quit school just because I'm having a hard week. But God, if you're developing something on the inside of me, something's going to come out. And one day I'm going to overcome this. And one day I'll have a testimony of your goodness, your mercy, and your grace toward me. Now, this is important for you, because there's an opposing spirit that's always trying to get you to do the opposite of what's happening on the inside of you. And this is why the writer John says, you got to be careful, because you're dealing with the spirit of the dun-dun-dun Antichrist. Now, most people immediately, the Antichrist, ooh, that sounds scary. Well, the word anti simply means opposed or against. Anything, that spirit, that is against Christ, it's not the anti-Jesus. It's called the Antichrist. Jesus has already ascended. But he says, I'm leaving, but I'm sending my spirit back to you. I am no longer Christ that is with you. I'm Christ that's in you. And if Christ is in us, according to the book of Romans, Paul says the same power that raised Christ from the grave is living in you. So I've got the life and the power of God in me, which represents the anointing. The word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. It's not Jesus' last name. So no, like, Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus Jenkins Jones, none of that. It's just Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. So if I've got Christ in me, that means I'm carrying the power of God in me. So the Antichrist is anything that comes against the power of God and the anointing of God in the earth. This is how God manifests himself, through you. He wants you to dominate in the marketplace. He wants you to dominate in athletics. He wants you to dominate in education and in science and in media and in Hollywood. God wants you to dominate in entertainment. He wants you to dominate in the school systems. The Lord has so much more for you than just chapel. This is a place where we assemble, we learn, we worship, but you're supposed to take what you're being taught, allow it to grow, and then go into the world and represent the kingdom of God. The spirit of the Antichrist knows that. The spirit of the Antichrist comes in the form of media manipulation, political agendas. I know some of you are Republicans, some of you are Democrat, your family is whatever, and I'm not here to debate that with you. But what I'm saying to you is you can never allow a political agenda to rule your life so that it becomes greater influence than the power of God in your life. Because God's not looking for politicians to come into his kingdom. He's looking for kingdom citizens to go into politics. He wants someone that's full of his spirit, someone that's full of faith, someone that's full of integrity to be the representation for the community. Because the Bible says when wicked people are in power, everybody's sad. But when righteous people are in power, everybody rejoices. How much better would the world be if righteous people were in positions of power? How much better would the world be if righteous people were teaching in our classrooms and running our school systems and being our mayors and our leaders and et cetera, on and so forth? And God is saying, why can't I use you? And the struggle is because most of you don't know that something is happening inside of you. There is always imagery trying to convince you you're not who you are. There's always music telling you to do this and do that and pop this pill and do this dance. And we don't understand that it's directly affecting us and oftentimes pushing us in the wrong direction. But the writer had to stop and says, don't worry about the Antichrist or anything trying to stop you from that intentional relationship with God and that reward and that spiritual development. He says, no, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when you have faith, this faith can get you through anything. This faith can give you the strength to push through anything. I'll be the first to admit, life has challenges that sometimes perplex the mind, where you really don't know what you're doing. You get confused, you get frustrated. Every last one of us, now let me say this to y'all, because a lot of y'all don't think this is ever gonna happen. At one time or another, you will question your faith. It's gonna happen. At one time or another, you're gonna be challenged to say, wait a minute, I don't even know if I believe in this. And I'm gonna tell you something, that's not a bad thing, because what it requires in that moment is not for you to quit, but to pursue and go deeper. To say, you know what, I got to find God for myself. I can't do this off the strength of what my mother or my father told me, my grandmother, my cousins, my teachers, my professors. I need to find. And that's when you go into the diligence of seeking him. God, if you're real, you got to show yourself to me. You think he's intimidated by that? You think God is like, oh, man, he don't believe in me. What I'm going to do? He's legitimately saying, I want you to come to me. When I was growing up, Sean, they used to say this in church. I grew up in an old school church. And they would say these words, don't you question God, just let the Lord have his way. And obviously they weren't reading the Bible, because the Bible says if a person lacks understanding, let that person ask God. There's a difference between asking God a question and interrogating God. I'm not going to put the lights on him. Why did you do this? But I want to understand, Lord, why do I feel the way that I feel? Why am I confused about this? Why is the world the way that it is? And when you begin to pursue him with intentionality, he reveals himself to you. He starts to show you things and you're like, man, I didn't even know there was good in this. How many of y'all, by a show of hands and that have on deodorant, how many of y'all have heard the story of Job? You've heard the story of Job somewhere in the Bible. All right, great. Now, the thing about it is, in the story of Job, most people immediately go to the fact that Job never cursed God. He, you know, he was able to hold his integrity, and he was a righteous man. Those people also did not read the Bible. Because if you read about Job, Job didn't curse God foolishly, but he was a very complaining individual. But there's something that many people do not read about Job that blew my mind. The Bible says that when Job went through all of his tribulation, for those of you that don't know about Job, he was allowed to be tested by the adversary. God allowed Satan to test Job. And the scripture says in a day's time, Job lost all of his businesses, he lost all of his children, and he had a marriage interruption, and his body was attacked and stricken with disease. All of this happened in a day's time. And this is powerful. Everyone talks about how righteous he was. When Job went through his trouble, he looked for consultation with his friends, and even his friends gave him bad advice. Finally, he submits himself to hear from God. God begins to speak to Job and reveals to Job how great he truly is. Job, I am the greatest. I am the one that hung the stars in the sky. I'm the one that put the sun in the sky. He begins to reveal the creation of animals and the creation of the earth. And Job makes a statement at the end of the book that many people bypass. He says, Lord, I have heard about you in times past, but now I know you for myself. You mean to tell me all this time that Job was going through this, he really didn't know God? No, he didn't. He only knew God through a religious practice and a routine. But it wasn't until he went through trouble that he pursued and found out who God was for himself. He even made a statement and said, I take back everything wrong that I've said about you. See, when you don't have a relationship with God, you're going to have misconceptions about God. And the only time you even think about God is when something bad happens. And the first thing out of your mouth is, if God was real, why did that happen? These are the small questions we ask. And the Lord says, there's so much more. But if you would pursue me by faith, and if you would diligently seek me, an intentional relationship, I could reward you and let my spirit grow on the inside of you. I could give you something that the world cannot bring explanation to. I can give you peace that is unexplainable. I can give you joy. That's the reason why I told the other group the other day, we're so messed up in society that if a person is walking down the street like this, nobody says anything. You don't even think about it. But if a person walks down the street like this, what's the first thing y'all think? What's wrong with him? What's he smiling for? He crazy. Do you see how warped our minds are, that anger and hostility have become normalcy, but joy is looked at as strange? That's because most people don't have the fruit of joy growing on the inside of them. They're products of bitterness and resentment, hostility and anger. And because the world has made that the majority, it seems normal. But I came to tell you today, that's not normal. It's normal for us to be happy. It's normal for us to have joy. It's normal for us to have peace. It's normal for us to think victory. But the enemy doesn't want you to believe that. So he uses negativity on the outside to mess up the way you feel on the inside. But God said, no, I want to use what I placed on the inside of you to change everything on the outside of you. Now tonight, there's a concert, and I hope all of y'all go. I hope you all go, and I want to tell you why I hope you all go. I hope you go, and I thank God that it's outside, because my prayer is that you would allow what God has placed in you to be so strong that as you all sing into the atmosphere tonight, and as you lift up a sound, don't be the cool person. Everybody got the one dude that's cool. You know you want to sing. You be trying to mumble, I'm gonna praise the name of the Lord. No, you got to sing out. And if you be that person that will open your mouth outside and sing, because of what's in us, I believe that as we begin to sing and the fruit of the Spirit begins to grow, that our words and our sound can change the entire atmosphere of this entire Michiana region. I believe that. I believe that if we get a group of y'all around that pond and they turn that music up and you begin to sing praises to God, there are people that are bound by addictions and people that are bound by depression that are not even in the vicinity. But because of the power of God that is spreading through the faith and the belief of the saints, it can change the entire atmosphere. Because what's in us is greater than what's out there. But the problem is God is trying to get you to let that in you out of you. Every time you walk in a store, I want you to believe, God, you can use me just by smiling and change the atmosphere. God, you can use me in my class to make everybody laugh when we all feel stressed over finals or over the pressures of a test. God, let me be the light that shines so bright that everything changes. I really appreciate y'all letting me speak to you, and I hope that today you've understood that the faith that God has given you, when you let that thing grow, it'll get you through anything, no matter how hard. No matter how challenging, no matter how difficult, if you allow that relationship with God to grow, your faith will get you through anything. Thank y'all. Appreciate you guys. Love you. Awesome. Let's
So good. So good, Jonathan. Thank you. Man, he's poured it out this week.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.